Y'all ready to get in the Word of God this morning? All right, we're going to hear what God wants to say to us. If you would stand for the honor of reading God's Word, we're going to read Matthew 5, 13 through 16. This will begin kind of our new series through the Gospel of Matthew, Moments with Jesus. So we're going to be spending some moments with Jesus. Our theme this year is the next step. What is your next step in following Jesus? We're going to just be in the Gospels this year as we look at the life of Jesus, and we want to follow Jesus together. And our challenge is to take that next step. Take that next step. Don't stay still. Don't go back, but go forward. And each next step takes you into more faithfulness and obedience and a life filled with Jesus. Amen. Now, I've never ran a marathon. Now, Michelle, she's ran two. I've ran zero. That's not my giftedness. But a marathon is basically not stopping. It's keeping one foot and then the next step. It's just taking the next step until you reach the finish line. And so as a follower of Jesus, our goal is to take that next step. We take that. What does he want us to do? Next step. Next step. All right. All right, that's your free, that's the sermon, that's the first pre-sermon there. You got that one, that one's free. We will go into the text and we will look at what he's saying. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your words today. I pray that you would speak to us, God, and may you change us. May we follow you more closely today than what we did yesterday. Lord, help me to preach plain and clear. I understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth and the strict judgment on my life, and I accept that place. Lord, it's in Jesus' name that I pray and in his name that I preach. Amen. So we're going to look at this text this morning, and there's going to be two words that you got to remember. Two words you got to remember. If you don't get anything out of all that I say, these two words you got to know: shake and shine. Those two words: shake, shine, shake and shine. Look at James. Say you got to shake, and you got to shine. All right. Now look at your neighbor. Say you got to shake, you got to shine. All right, we're going to shake and shine. We're going to shake because we're salt of the earth, and we're going to shine because we're light to the world, okay? And so he says, you are salt. Salt, for thousands of years, has been extremely important to life. There was a day not too long ago that there was no refrigeration, right? There's no electricity. Can you imagine that? I mean, I don't know a world where that didn't exist, right? But there was a day, not that long ago, and salt was the preservative of the meat. And so you had to have salt. In fact, the Roman soldiers would be paid a salary so they could purchase salt because it was such a staple of life that you had to have that. And in fact, the word salary is derived from the root word sal, from salt. Where we get our word salary from. And so when someone says they're not worth their salt, means someone's not worth their wages. They're not worth what they put in. And so salt does at least three things that we're going to talk about this morning. It flavors, it brings out the flavor of food, it preserves, and it heals. And so we're going to look at salt. Now, I've got some things here to look at. We've got some different types of ways that we can have salt. Anybody ever seen one of these? All right, this is a little packet of salt, right? Some of you don't even, now if you all eat at McDonald's, let me just give you a tip. They've already got enough salt on them. You don't need any more. But for some reason, some people just rip that open and, but anyway, so you got a salt packet. And we're going to use this as two ways of illustration here this morning, because this is just a little packet. There's a lot of salt. Now, salt is made up of individualized crystals, and they're all together, and they salt something. And so the church is made up of individual believers, all packaged together to form a church storefront. This is storefront. Grassy Lick. Fog Pike. And then hopefully there'll be more. And so here's the neat thing is that salt is salt no matter what package it's in. And so God uses all sizes of churches. Okay? It doesn't change what's inside. Right? People who love Jesus, follow Jesus, and who's salt of the earth, they're salt of the earth no matter what size of church you're in. Right? And so you're a blessing to the world no matter what size. But here's the neat thing is the bigger that it is, the more potential that you have to cover. Right? The more you can cover, because like say if this was filled with French fries in this, one packet may be enough to salt all this. Right? But what if I had about five of these? Well, then I might need to use this one. And then what if I say I have 1,000 of these? I'm trying to get them ready for court day, you know. I got 1,000 of these. Well, I might need even more salt, right? So there's great potential to salt things in this one, a little bit more potential in this one, even more potential in this one. However, it's still just potential because I've got to do one thing to this before it actually impacts. What do I have to do? I've got to open it. I've got to tear it, and I've got to shake it. I've got to shake it. I've got to shake. Look at your name and say, I've got to shake. We are salt of the earth. We have to shake. We have to shake and we have to shine. And so we're going to look at this morning how we apply, because we have got to get out of the salt shaker and into the world. We are salt of the earth. Okay? And so we've got to engage. And we had just read the Beatitudes, right? The last few weeks we've been talking about the Beatitudes. And last week we talked about the importance of getting our mind focused in heaven. Getting our mind focused in heaven. And the reason why we've got to have our mind focused on heaven is because we've got to realize that there's eternity, that this life is but a vapor. And so it helps us to engage this world, because the life of a Christian and Christianity isn't we're not a separatist faith. We don't alienate ourselves from the world, but we are to engage the world. Jesus is the example. He is the greatest missionary. He came from heaven and invaded earth, and he brought down heaven to earth. He brought the flavor of heaven to earth. And so what Jesus tells his disciples after he gives them the Beatitudes, he says, now you are the salt of the earth. You are to invade the earth, you are to engage the earth, and you are to bring the flavor of heaven to earth. You are to preserve. You are to heal. Now, I did some word study this week, and I searched for sugar in the Bible. And nowhere can I find that Jesus told the church to be sugar. He called us to be salt. And I'm afraid what has happened in our culture, what's happened over in Europe, and what's happening now in America, is that we have bought into the systems of the world, and we have sugar-coated the gospel. And we've been filling people with sugar rather than seasoning them with salt. And that's a problem. What's the problem with sugar? Well, sugar melts real quickly. Sugar will give you an instant gratification. It'll give you a high, and then it'll bring you down to a crash, right? Y'all remember those pixie sticks? Those little pixie sticks? I mean, he's raised on pixie sticks. He had pixie sticks. And all that was a little funnel of colored what? Sugar. And then they kept the big dog out. Y'all remember the big one? I mean, it was about this long, you know, about that big and round. You couldn't even hardly eat that one in a car. You had to be very strategic in how you lifted that up. You know, be walking around. I mean, we'd be walking around. I don't know if ever thought that was a great idea. Just give a big old thing of sugar and just, there you go. Sugar will make bad. You can take something that tastes bad, throw some sugar in there and sweeten it up a little bit and make it better. But sugar does not bring out the flavor. It covers over, disguises. And I think that Satan has disguised many things. He's made a lot of bad things taste good that doesn't last. And we bought into it too. We bought into it to the world. We've bought in it in our own political correctness. We've bought into it through our own philosophical correctness, and even psychological correctness. So it's not politically correct anymore to say the word sin. Well, you can't tell people they're sinners. Might make them feel bad. Well, we are all sinners. There was a guy that came to Jesus and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to be saved?" And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? There is only one who is good, and that is God." Do you realize that our righteousness is like filthy rags? There's not one of us here that's perfect. Okay? We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we don't want to use the word sin. And definitely don't say Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's just not philosophically correct. I mean, you got to be more intellectual than that, Grant. I mean, that's just so narrow-minded. And obviously, there's multiple ways to God, and we're all calling God by different names, and we're all going to get there. Well, that's not what Scripture teaches. The Bible says that Jesus says that I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I need to remind you and clarify this and make sure that we all know Allah is not the God of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Not the same God. We're not serving the same God, calling him different names. There's only one Lord. There's only one faith. There's only one baptism, and that is through Jesus. And so I know that's not philosophically correct, and psychologically correct. It's not psychologically correct either. You know, it hurts my ego and myself when you say that I need saving. Makes me feel bad. Because what we've told our, I call it Disney faith. We teach our kids that, oh, you're so good, you're so wonderful, you're so awesome, you're great. And so when you grow up hearing how wonderful you are, how awesome you are, how great you are, and you never, and someone says, you need saving. Well, saving from what? I'm good. I'm a great person. I don't need saving. When that's not what Scripture teaches. Scripture teaches, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. There is none righteous, no, not one. Not one perfect person. Can you say amen to that? How many of y'all ever lied? Acted ornery? Said something you shouldn't? We're all there, right? And so what we must do, Living Water, we will always be a church that shakes the gospel. We will always believe that Jesus is Lord. We will always preach that he was crucified on a cross for our sin. We will always teach that he was put in a tomb. And we will always teach that he rose again. And we'll always proclaim he's coming back. And that unless one trusts and places their faith in Jesus as Lord, there is no hope. The gospel needs to be proclaimed. And what we've done is we've sugarcoated that. We've tried to make people feel good about themselves. And we've not presented the gospel. We've given them sugar. We've given them lollipops. And we've got a world and a culture that is now being trampled on because the salt has lost its power. And that only happens through the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Living Water, I want to thank you for being a church that shakes it. I want to thank you for being a church that shakes the gospel. I want to just kind of give some moments of celebration and highlights and things of what you all are doing. The Meals for Family. Debbie Goldie, she lost her mom this week. We prayed for her on Sunday. She's now in the presence of the Lord. She's experiencing all the comforts of the Beatitudes that we've been talking about. She's a child of God. There's no more mourning there. She is with her Lord. And our ladies got a meal together. Some of you brought food. They served it, and they loved on this family. And some of you were a part of that. You were shaking the salt. You were loving on this family. You were caring for them. And there were other people there in that family who may or may not be believers, and they saw your love and your care for them. Thank you for shaking the salt. Becky, she does a wonderful job with our food ministry here. And Elizabeth organizes our care meals, where if we know and we can, and we can get food out to someone who's been sick or somebody's had a baby, we provide meals. That's shaking the salt. That's shaking the love of Jesus into people's lives, and that makes an impact. You are impacting people. Thank you for being faithful in that. We have our sending out cards. When you write a card out, send a note out to somebody, guess what that's doing? That's shaking the salt out. People going out, we even shake some salt out in Guatemala. We shook some out in Haiti. Shake some out the Du Bois Project. Out in the community, put coins in, pay for people's laundry, just simply shaking the salt, wanting people to know, hey, there's a God who loves them, there's a Jesus who can make a difference in their life. We've got two bowling teams in a bowling league. I want to brag on them just for a moment. There was a lady, and her mom and dad also is part of this, on a bowling team in this league, and she came out to church on Easter, that the whole family did, and long story short, there's some marriages going to happen, there's some baptisms going to happen, there's some great things happening in this family, and they were talking, and she told us, just kept throwing us off because we didn't know who this lady was, and she said she was in our bowling league. Well, first, I didn't know we had a bowling league. I was like, we got a bowling league? I was like, that's cool. I thought maybe we did. I didn't know. But we don't have a bowling league, but we have two teams in a bowling league. And those two teams, they have bowled against them and been around them. She told Sean, she said, just playing against you all and seeing you all, how you interact and the joy you have and the way that you all behave, we wanted to go to your church. That's taking the flavor of heaven and bringing it to earth. You see, so even bowling can be a way to shake the salt. A simple invite. You know, I think, I can't remember if I shared this in this service, third service, whatever, but I know, you know, Blake was at a gym, and Beth just simply invited him, hey, come to church. He's came to church. He's taking class 101, 201, 301, 401, served hot chocolate in the name of Jesus. Gave a devotion during Upward, said it's something he would never have ever imagined himself doing. It's changed his life by just simply shaking the salt of a simple invite. At a gym is a place where you can shake some salt. Living your life on a daily basis, wherever you live, using your passions to point people to Jesus, coaching little league teams. Do we have any Parks and Rec coaches in the house? Travel team coaches in the house, you know. I like Sean and Terry. I brag on them a little bit because every once in a while you'll see teams come in and they've got their uniforms on and stuff because it means they're about to head to a game, but they bring them to church first. That's shaking the salt. That's using something that people enjoy doing, but yet speaking life into them by allowing the gospel to be a part of that. You see how that works? Shake the salt wherever you go. This week you'll be able to shake. Shake for Jesus, amen? Now I know some of you like to, every once in a while, go down to Rupp Arena and do some shaking. It ain't for Jesus. This week we got an opportunity to shake for Jesus. Shake the salt of the gospel. Not only do we need to shake it, not only does the salt bring the flavor of heaven to earth, but also it preserves. It preserves. Salt preserves. It preserves meat from rotting. The gospel is the only thing that has the power to save and change lives. Jesus is our only hope. You realize that? He is our only hope. He is the only one that can save you, change you, turn you into someone new. Our goal as what we should do, our goal should be our generation should always try to preserve and hand off to the next generation a better place than what we have. We want to leave it in a better condition than what we were. We always want to make it better, right? That should be the goal. I know when I was growing up as a kid, my parents, they wanted me to do better. They didn't go to college. They wanted me to go to college. So they started speaking that at a young age. You need to go to college. We want you to do better than what we did. We don't want you to have to struggle like we struggled. And that's what a parent ought to want to do. Want their kids to do better. Amen. Our church, we should want that the generation under us to rise up and even supersede what we've done. I mean, I believe, church, that we have set a good example of what it means to be a faith and faithful church, to follow Jesus and not to be afraid and to step out sometimes in areas where it seemed a little, you know, crazy. So I think we're setting that example, and I want our kids, and I want the generations underneath us, I want them, when we're dead and gone, I want living water to continue moving for the glory of God, amen? Even greater and better than what we've done with it. You've got to, parents, you've got to preserve your family. You have got to preserve your family. You have got to pour salt on your family. You've got to be the ones to raise your kids up in a godly home. You need to train your kids. Your kids don't need to train you. And if you don't get them by the time they're three, they've done trained you. When I was going through the education system and going through my classes, we went through a time where we called it CARA. It was the Kentucky Education Reform Act. And they had different philosophies and methodologies of how to educate children. And one of those was the student-directed learning that I thought was one of the dumbest things I've ever heard of. Let's allow the students to tell us what they are to learn. I sit there thinking, what? How does a third grader know what they're supposed to learn? You know, what? That's the craziest thing. The teachers ought to be directing the learning. The parents ought to be directing the instruction at home. You've got to instill morals in your kids. You need to be one that instills integrity, honesty, selflessness, a genuine faith. You've got to be the one. What our generation likes to do now is we like to empower our kids. We love them to have the freedom of choice, freedom of expression. We just want them to express themselves, and we're teaching them to not submit to authority. That's what we're doing. And so they'll be little, and you'll ask them to do something. They'll go, no. And there's some parents who will go, oh, isn't that cute? No. It's not cute. It's not cute. When they, as a three-year-old, sit there and go, no, you let them know who's in charge right then. And that's not cute. And you can laugh about it, and it can be cute. And, well, I tell you what, it ain't cute when they're 13. It's not cute when they're 23. It's not cute when they're 43. It ain't cute. You've got to teach them to understand who is in charge, understand who has authority, that they need to submit to mom and dad. Because if they never learn how to submit to authority, they'll never learn how to submit to God. And so we got a generation that feels like they're in charge, that they know, and they're in charge of their life, and we can't submit to the authority of God over our life. It's a problem. That's because we've gave them sugar rather than salt. Kids, teenagers, let me just tell you something. If you have parents who love the Lord, they love you more than you can even imagine, okay? And so when they do things and they make decisions, it's because they love and care for you and they want to preserve you and protect you, okay? So we started something new in our home. Parents, you all can take this. And teenagers, here's what I want to ask you all to do. I want you to hear me in the spirit this morning. Because I think that some of you tonight could come to your parents and have a change, and it could impact your life. We're having a technology shutdown zone. And so when it comes time for bed, the phone comes to me, the iPads come to me, anything that can be, they can get on the web, they come into our room, we charge it for them. They don't need it in their room when they're supposed to go to bed. You know I'm right. There's a lot of mischief that you can get on that little device. The phones, the internet, the iPads, the computers are all potentially great things, but I'm telling you, Satan can use that and disguise it as sugar and destroy your life. I don't want that for my son. It's destroying some adults' lives. You don't need this at night time. Guess what? People have lived for thousands of years without this device. It can be done. Get along with God. Have a devotion. Be praying. Teenagers, you got to ask yourself this question. What does God want to do with my life? What am I going to do? What am I going to become? What's God want? I want people coming out of this church, teenagers coming out of this church, who actually go out and make something of their life. I want you leading, being the CEO of the company. I want you starting the business. I want you being the president of the of whatever it is. I want you to be somebody so that you can go out there and shake a bunch of salt over this world. I want you to have a goal, a purpose, a mission. Don't go out there and be one of these who, oh no. Get a go. Don't waste your opportunity now. The thing that ticks me off is that I went to the same school with some buddies of mine that are now out there doing absolutely nothing, wasting their life. They've tanked everything, and they want me to pay for it. They sat under the same school I went to, had the same teachers I went to, had the same opportunity that I had, and did absolutely nothing with it. Don't waste it. Parents, preserve that. Pour the salt. Challenge them. Make sure you know what they're doing in school. Get on there. Get on there. You better know what they're doing on social media. Facebook. I know that's parent stuff. Kids today, that ain't cool for kids now. It's Snapchat. You better watch it. You better keep an eye on them, because that can become sugar so quick. Preserve that. Amen? Salt preserves it. What also it does, it heals. Back in the day, that was health care. Cut yourself. Michael, you know this old farmer would say, rub some what? Rub some salt in it. Now, salt in the wound stings, but it heals. You see, sugar makes everybody feel good. Sugar makes everybody sit there and we can all hold hands and feel good about ourselves and talk about humanity and how great we are and how wonderful we are and how, you know, just be whatever you want to be and live however you want to live and pat ourselves on the back, and we all can be happy and we can hold hands, and then we can all die and go to hell. That's what can happen. Or we preach the truth and we say, you're a sinner who needs a Savior. There is a God who loves you. He died for you. He rose again. And he wants to give you a life that is full and abundant and filled with substance and not one that is sugar-coated. And faddish and empty. Heals. Some of you need to be healed today. You need to be healed from yourself. You need to be healed from this world's system, this world's thinking, this world's religion, and you need to experience the healing power of the grace of God. And not only are we to be salt, we are the light of the world. Right? Because we've got to shake, and we've got to what? Shine. We've got to shake, and we've got to shine. Now, we got to shine bright. We got to shine bright for Jesus. How do you do that? Living a life of faithfulness shines bright for Jesus, right? Living a life of commitment, being genuine, doing what God wants you to do everywhere you go. You are a light of the world. How many of y'all realize this? That your birthday cake is a lot brighter at age 40 than it is at age 4. Anybody else notice that? You know, the more candles you get going. And then Dorothy in the first service, she's sitting right there in the second row. She says, try 60. And that's when you just buy a 6 and a 0. We are the light of the world. So each of us, we're all candles, right? We're all candles, torches, whatever you want to say for Jesus. And we all carry our light out into the world. Okay? That's what we're called to do. It's what we're supposed to do. And when we get together, and the more candles we get together, the more flames we get together, man, the greater fire that we can see. The greater we can burn. What would it look like if Living Water Church, if every single one of us, when we leave this place, see, right now we're huddled up right here in the shaker. Here we are. Here we are. And then this afternoon comes, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. If we never share our faith, then we come back Sunday. What's happened to the world? Nothing. But if we go out there and we shake, and then we have our light and we shine, what happens? People begin experiencing a taste of heaven. And then those who are in the dark begins to see where they can walk to so that they can encounter real life. We have a great opportunity, don't we? We have a great opportunity every single day, every single moment, every opportunity to shake and shine. Shake and shine. Tina, you just gave your life to the Lord not too long ago, right? And me and John, this is back before we were in our healthy ways, back when we were shaking literal salt. Now, you got to be careful with this illustration. OK? Okay, be careful with the salt illustration. Now, do not go out to eat this week and say, well, I got to shake the salt because that's what preacher said to do. There is hypertension. There is problems that can come along with too much salt, okay? So, and it's got its point. But us, many people at our church had a Los Rodeos ministry. Some people thought we were just going there to eat. But we had better reasons to go there, right? You know, probably multiple people invited you to come out to church. Of course, you got some connection family that goes here too. Came out, now she knows Jesus. Professed her faith through baptism. Now your next step is to keep shaking and shining so that you can stand in that baptistry and either one, you actually do the baptizing, or you just help participate in it. How cool would that be? What would happen if from now until the end of the year, you were able to step in those baptismal waters with somebody, that you had an impact in knowing Jesus, and you getting to experience baptism with them? Isn't that cool? What would that look like? What would that happen? What would happen? Church, we'll never be a pixie stick. Individually, and don't be a pixie stick. Don't just give sugar. Season with salt. Live your faith. Honor Jesus. Follow Him. Love Him. Worship Him, serve Him, give unto Him, sacrifice unto Him, spend time with Him, and make Him known. I told the youth they need to have a quiet time. That's for adults too. Time alone with God is extremely important, so that you can go out there and be the salt and the light that we've been called to be. Larry, we got a lot of kids to shake and salt, don't we? Shake with salt through just sports. Engaging, being a part. How are you going to shake and shine this week for the glory of Jesus? Let's pray. Father, we love You and we thank You. We are so grateful that You saved us, Lord. And God, we've got a culture. We've got there is such a sugar mentality right now among the world. And right now we see a trampling underground where churches have lost the power of the gospel. Lord, today, speak to us individually. Speak to me, Lord. Lord, help me not to pour out things other than salt. Lord, so this week, if I'm tempted to shake out bitterness, Lord, let it not be that. Let it be grace. If anger tempts to come out of me, Lord, may it be Your love and compassion instead. Lord, help me to season with salt this week. Help me to shine bright for You. Father, may I glorify You. Father, I pray, God, for our church, that we would always be a church that lifts up the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Pray for our families here this morning. I just got a burden. I got a burden for our families, God. Got a burden for our teenagers and our kids. I love them. I love each and every one of them. I want to see great things for Your kingdom done in their lives, Lord. And I want You to protect them, God. Give them wisdom, Lord, to make the right choices, to protect themselves from becoming sugar. And Lord, may we give you praise and glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's respond. Let's pray. Some of you may need to come and just pray for the teams that you're coaching. Some of you may need to come and pray as a family. Maybe you just need to come and pray for people that you're burdened for. Or pray for the church. Whatever God's laying in your heart to do, would you do this morning?